Someday when the toils of life are over and the saints are called away, we will gather round the throne of Jesus for his coronation day. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings. I want to be there when the court of heaven rings with the happy song the angel chorus sings. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings. All the universe will be assembled, numberless the gathering there. Angel hosts and all the ransomed army, glorious sight beyond compare. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings. I want to be there when the court of heaven rings with the happy song the angel chorus sings. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings. Only those who put their faith in Jesus, trust the work of Calvary, will behold that crowning day in heaven, day of final victory. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings. I want to be there when the court of heaven rings with the happy song the angel chorus sings. I want to be there when we crown him King of Kings.
Thank you, gentlemen. I sure want to be there when we crown him King of Kings as well. That's why on July 5th, 1983, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Realized I was a sinner, deserved to go to hell, but realized that God, the God of the universe, loved me and sent His Son to die on the cross for me, and that changed my life. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I want to ask Brother Quinn, how many did you bring today? Where is he? 40. Amen. That's praise the Lord. I want to ask somebody else, who brought two? So raise your hand if you brought two people, just two visitors. That's right here? Two. There's a well done, thou good and faithful servant for Brother Quinn. And there's a well done, thou good and faithful servant for the one that just brought two. Because you know what? If they hadn't brought those two, we'd never made our goal. 1,499. We'd have been short. If you hadn't brought your two, we'd been short. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? You brought the two that put us over the top. Amen. You can tell your classmates Monday. Me. Amen. God bless you. Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. So let's stand as we read God's Word together. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," that's us, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." The Apostle Paul was a rascal before he got saved. Do you know that? He was a pretty hard man. "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You ever wondered why Jesus said that? He wasn't persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting the church. You know how important the church is to Jesus? They're one and the same. It's his bride. See what he was saying? Saul, you mess with my bride, you're messing with me. And he said in verse number 5, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said unto him, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, trembling and astonished, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight and we thank you, Lord, for a wonderful, wonderful day. But Lord, not only for a wonderful day, a wonderful campaign. We thank you, Lord, for reaching our numerical goals, but Lord, we also thank you for working in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And Lord, not only working in lost people's lives, but Lord, working in our lives. Lord, as we work together, as we pull together as teams, and Lord, as just groups of people going out to try to get people to church, Lord, it was such a blessing. And Lord, it taught us something. And Lord, if we work together, Lord, we can see any goal accomplished with your might and your power. And we thank you, Lord, for the day. We ask you to bless our preacher. We thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, that he had the opportunity to be able to spend with Brother Keith and Lord, the church up there. We pray you'd bless him and, Lord, give him a wonderful time there. And, Lord, I know he's going to rejoice when he hears the numbers and he hears the statistics, Lord, and the folks that have been saved and baptized. And Father, we just give you the glory tonight. And, Lord, I pray you give us a good service now. Challenge us. And Lord, keep us working hard for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. In Acts chapter 9, we see here, as we've read, we see the conversion of Saul. Now, I want you to notice that after Paul was saved, and somewhere in here, Paul gets saved. In fact, he uses his testimony throughout the book of Acts, towards the end of the book of Acts, a couple of times, And listen, we need to use our testimony. We need to let people know what God has done for us and how it happened. You ask people, well, I know I'm saved. Well, how did it happen? Well, I really don't know. Well, I just wonder if you really know, if you don't have some details. I'm not necessarily got to have a date, but there ought to be some details. There ought to be something that's stuck inside the day you got saved. Something ought to happen. And listen, when something does happen, notice here, after Paul got saved, notice the question he asked. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? A genuinely saved person has a desire to serve the Savior. There's a desire inside to do something for the Lord. Why? Because he's done so much for us. Now listen, I don't understand these folks that are under the condemnation of God. I don't understand how you can serve God under condemnation. Hey, knowing that you could go to hell if you mess up. I'd rather serve because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, listen, his desire after he got saved was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that question since you've been saved? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Scary question, isn't it? Because he's going to answer you. He's going to give you something to do. God has a will for your life. God wants you to do something for Him. He didn't save you just to keep you out of hell so you could just tell people, hey, I'm saved. He saved you to serve. And He saved you to serve through a local assembly that has a pastor, a local New Testament church. And so Paul had a desire to serve after he got saved. And I want to just read a passage before we get started in the message tonight from Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8. And it says this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Hey, you know God wants some people to go for Him. God wants some people to go for Him. Then said I, this is Isaiah, here am I, send me. Now both these men heard the voice and call of God. And their answers were, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Why did these men answer that way? You know what they were saying to God? They were saying, God, I'm available. Hey, when you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? If you were to walk up to the preacher and say, listen, is there anything you need me to do in this church? You know what you're saying? I'm available. Listen, Brother Todd, is there anything that I can do in the bus ministry or part? You know what you're saying? I'm available. You know what Isaiah was saying to God? He said, God, I'm available. Paul was saying, God, I'm available. I just want to do what you want to do. Listen, as a saved man tonight, you know what? I just want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do what God wants you to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. God has an individual will for my life, and I want to find it. And because I know that in God's will for my life, there's peace, there's contentment, there's power, there's provision. I want to be in the will of God. But you know what? You'll never be in the will of God if you won't ask that question or willing to say, Lord, here I am, and make yourself available to Him. God wants us to be available. Now this evening, I want to speak on the greatest ability the child of God can have, and that is availability. Listen, you can't do anything for God if you're not available. Listen, if you're called upon to do something, I don't care what it is, if you're not available, you're not going to get a chance to do it. If you're not available, you've got to be available. One of the greatest abilities the child of God has is to be available. And listen, just after Paul gets saved, you know what he says, Lord? I'm available. Listen, I've been serving the devil. Listen, I've been serving the wrong crowd. Hey, I've put so much zeal into persecuting the church. He said, listen, I've been available to that ministry. I now want to be available to your ministry. I want to be available to what you want me to do. Now, I just want to talk about this thing of ability. This ability. I got three things I want to talk about tonight, just three subjects. I'm not going to keep you very long, but listen, I want you to pay attention on purpose. It'll change your life. There's some things in the message tonight from the Word of God that, listen, if you'll get a hold of them, they'll literally change your life. And that's exactly, if you're saved, that's what you want. That ought to be your prayer. I'm sick of being the same. I'm sick of staying at the same level. I'm sick of, I want to grow. I want God to do something with my life. I want God to do something with my family's lives. I want God to do something with your life. But listen, if we're not available, He can't do anything. If we're not available. Now listen, I'm not asking you to do everything that Brother Todd does or Brother Sam does or what I do. But listen, you need to be available to what God wants you to do. You say, I never asked Him. Then you need to do that tonight. That'd be a good start. Is just find you a place at this altar and say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Because Lord, I know I've got some abilities and I've got some talents that You want to use. Lord, would You please use me? Now this thing about availability, first of all, availability translates into usability. Usability. God uses those who are willing to make themselves available. Now that term used, the world gives it a negative usage. Well, I just feel like I've been used. I've been taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying? You ever said that? I just got used. Hey, listen, in the Lord's service, that's what you want. Hey, Lord, use me. That ought to be a desire of your heart. But listen, the world has taken... Listen, we bellyache because we get a chance to do something for God. Hey, we get to drive a bus or a van. Or hey, we get to pick somebody up and bring them to church. Listen, yeah, well, I'm just being used. No, you're not. You're being used of God. And listen, God will reward you for what you do for Him. You're not going to outgive God. You're not going to be used like the world would use you and then just toss you to the side. But see, the world, their idea of being used is, listen, I've been used. The world measures greatness by how many people they have working for them. They do. The greater you become, the less accessible you become to common people. See, that's the Gentiles. That's the way they determine greatness. What happens is, as you get great in this life, you know what? You become inaccessible to people, and you've got, well, your people talk to my people. You heard that before? I'll have my people talk to your people. See, that's the way the Gentiles talk. That's the way the world talks. But Jesus said it's not going to be that way with you. Hey, if you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you know what? You're going to be a minister. Hey, if you're going to be great, it's how many people you serve, not how many people you have serving you. But you know, in the world, It's how many people work for me? How many people can, I get... That's not the Christian realm. That word used, see, I want to be used... See, Jesus said, as far as a minister's concerned, I want to use you. I want to touch people with you. I don't want to touch people with your people. I want to touch people with you. I want to use you tonight. I want to use you tonight. Now, the Christian usage is positive. Lord, use me. I mean, that's a prayer. I hope everybody in this room would pray tonight. Lord, use me. Use me in some way. I don't care if it's in a small way. I don't care if it's in a big way. But Lord, if you'll just use me, I just want you, Lord, you, my Savior, to do something with this instrument. Would you use me? Would you pick me up? Would you pick this tool up and use me tonight? I want to be used of God. In God's economy, the greater you are, the more accessible you are to sinners. Turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 26. And the Bible says, "But it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your," what? "Minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a" what? "A ransom for many." That's exactly what God wants us to be. God wants us to touch people. He doesn't want my people touching people. He wants me touching people. He wants you touching people. He wants us to be a servant. And listen, an honest Christian wants to be used of God. And the question is, how can God use me? And I'm glad you've asked. When it comes to God using people, there's no difference. You know what He's looking for? He's just looking for somebody who's available. He's looking for He's not necessarily looking for talent. He's not necessarily looking for good looks. Now, see, that's the way the world does. The world looks for talent. They look for that perfect person. That person that's going to be the poster child for their business or whatever they're doing, and just the right shade and the right colors and all. Listen, that's what God's just looking for, somebody to be available to Him. Why? Because He'll get the rest done. God just wants you to be available. You see, when it comes to God using people or things, God is no different than we are. We use what is available. Preacher said this the other night, and this is what kind of sparked my thought. How many of you have ever used a shoe for a hammer? Or a wrench? How many of you have ever used a knife for a screwdriver, like a butter knife? Or some kind of thing, turn a screw. You know why you used it? It was there. The screwdriver wasn't available, but the knife was. How many of you guys ever used a screwdriver for a chisel? Hey, you didn't have a chisel and you had some wood you had to knock out. Hey, listen, you just use that flathead screwdriver for a chisel. How many of you ladies in here have ever needed something to write with and maybe used an eyeliner pen? Just reached in, you think, I don't have anything to write with, and you got those little pens and things, all those colored pencils you use on your lips and your eyes and all of that, and you just, psh. Why? Because you didn't have the right tool. You didn't have the right tool. See, God, it's because it was available. The truth is, we don't make ourselves available because we don't want to be used. We hide. We kind of hide like Adam and Eve hid. And you know what? If there's sin in your life and you're not walking with God as a Christian, you don't want to be used. You're hiding. The best thing to do is confess your sin, get right with God and say, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" And get in the will of God. Get in the will of God. Now, here's how you make yourself available. Hang around authority. You say, "Hey, we're not teenagers." It doesn't matter. Hang around authority. Everybody's under authority. Hang around authority. You say, "Man, I'd like to be used in the bus." Hang around the buses. Hang around Brother Todd. Hang around Brother Donnelly. Hang around a bus captain. Just hang around. Listen, make yourself available. Be that, be that, uh, be that screwdriver, and they say, man, I need a chisel. Well, that'll do. Why? Because it's there. Just hang around authority. You hang around authority. See, some people think that, you know what, if you hang around authority, you're a goody-goody. But if you hang around authority, you hang around the boss, you can be used. You can do things and learn things and listen, if you do that, but the world is, listen, don't hang around with, I want to be my own authority. I want to be the center of attention. See, I want to join the labor union because, see, I want to have a voice. See, it's not about the boss. It's not about the authority. It's not about the power structure. It's not about decently and in order. It's about me. So when things don't go the way you want it, you pout and run off and don't do anything. See, the best thing is just hang around and see if there's anything to do. And hey, if there's not anything to do, just keep hanging around. I guarantee you there'll be something to do. Listen, how many of you have been at Trinity Baptist Church at any time at all? And listen, you understand that there's stuff to do. I mean, you can just sit in the pew for a little while and you're going to get a phone call. It's going to be from me or Brother Todd or somebody or a group captain. They're going to say, hey, could you? Now, let me ask you something. Would you be doing that for God or just the person that's asking? Hey, if it's in the church, yes, it's both. But you're doing it for God. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Hey, listen, when it's service in the church and service for the church, and listen, it's for God. Make yourself available. Hang around authority. Make yourself available. Listen, Joseph was successful. Joseph in the Old Testament was successful because he, you know what he did? He sought out authority and he made himself available. You say he was the favorite son. Why? Because he hung around the father. Hey, the other boys were wanting to get away from authority. Hey, they wanted to sit at the back of the auditorium. They were trying to get away from daddy. But hey, he was sitting at daddy's feet. I wonder why he was the favorite. I wonder why he was used. I wonder why when daddy needed something, he always asked Joseph to do it. Because Joseph hung around authority. Hey, listen, at Potiphar's house. Listen, he just hung around Potiphar. Hey, what do you have me to do? And pretty soon he's made the head of Potiphar's house. Hey, he gets put in jail. So he hangs around the chief jailer. You know what? Then he becomes friend with the chief jailer. Gets to be a trustee. And then pretty soon he's promoted to second in the kingdom over Pharaoh. Why? Because he hung around authority. See, people that are used are humble people. And humble people get promoted. He that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. But humble people are used people. They're people that want to be used, and humble people are the ones that get the promotion. Listen, God is no different. He uses what's available. If God has someone close by who's less talented, less ability, but they're accessible, God will use them instead of you. And then you know what? While God's using them, you're sitting there going, you know what? I could have done that. I could have done that, but you weren't available. Man, I can't believe, man, the preacher's patting him on. That could have been me. Yeah, it could have been. But it's not because you weren't available. And they were. That's the way it works, folks. Listen, I'm sure Brother Smith could have found a better speaker tonight. But you know what? I was available. Amen. Hey, Brother Todd, he probably could have found a better speaker this morning, couldn't he? But you know what? You were available, weren't you? That's right. It's just being available. Just being there when you're needed. And there's times, you know what, that some of the talent and, hey, some of the big shots, they won't be there. But if you're there, God will use you. That brings me to my next point. Not only does availability translate into usability, but availability confounds human reasoning. And preacher touched on this a little bit the other night. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Availability confounds human reasoning. Now notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." You say, why doesn't God use the strong? Why doesn't God use the intelligent? Why doesn't God use the wealthy? Now, I'm not saying, hey, God does use the strong. God does use the intelligent. God does use the wealthy. But you know what? It's few and far between. You know why? Because they're out building their kingdom. A lot of these high-profile Christians, it's all about them. Hey, these pretty boy preachers, it's all about them. Hey, listen, you know what it takes to get wealth? You know what? You got to work at it. And you know what? A lot of times you're not going to be available when God wants you. You understand what I'm saying? So see, you know what? It's that old boy that's just kind of sitting there wanting something to do. Hey, he's got nothing to do. Let's put him to work. But you know why God doesn't use the mighty and the intelligent and the wealthy a lot of times in His service? Is because they're not available. Now, I'm not saying if you're wealthy, strong, and all that, that you're not usable. You are. You just got to make yourself available. And you know what you might have to do? You might have to drop a few things to make yourself available. And sometimes we're not willing to do that to make ourselves available to God. But see, human reasoning says the person, that person would be great in that position for God's will. How many times have we said that in staff meeting, Brother Todd, that, hey, this person would be great, right? But you know what? Find out they're not available. Oh, can't do it. Got this to do, got that to do, and this to do, and got this to do, and that to do. See, they're just not available. So what happens is, well, the old boy that is going to get the job. He may not be as qualified, but he's going to get the job because he's available. Listen, God used a fisherman instead of Pharisees. God used, and listen, the Pharisees are smart people. Hey, they knew the Bible. They were respected. They were leaders in the community. But God said, I'd just rather have a fisherman. Why? Because when He said, follow me, they did. Remember that? Hey, follow me, fellas. And immediately they dropped their nets and they followed the Lord. They made themselves available. Hey, the Pharisees, all they did was make fun. Hey, they were too busy. A tax collector instead of a priest. Matthew, Levi. And then you know what? He used a teenage shepherd instead of a soldier in the Old Testament. A bunch of soldiers. God could have used any one of them, but you know what? None of them made themselves available to slay Goliath, but a teenage shepherd did. He said, listen, nobody else wants to do it. I'll try. Man, I've whooped a bear. I've defended my sheep. Listen, I've watched God use me. I know God can do it again. Just if give me the chance. He just made himself available. You know why they were used of God? They were just available. But it confounds and defies human reasoning. Now listen to me. D.L. Moody, great preacher. We talk about him, use him all that. But you know what? He was not eloquent. He wasn't. In fact, he was criticized at times because you know what? He wasn't like Spurgeon. They say he butchered the English language. Now his butchering the English language back then, listen, we'd love to probably be able to talk like he did. I mean, if he butchered it back then, what are we doing to it now? You understand what I'm saying? But, listen, they say he butchered the English language, but you know what? There wasn't an English or speech major available when God wanted revival. Hey, there wasn't somebody that could do the eloquent speech. You know, they were too busy. Hey, they already had something to do, but listen, he didn't have anything to do. He just said, God, I'm available. If you'd like to use me in that capacity, would you please do so? And God did. And millions were won to Christ because God used what was available when He got D.L. Moody. Now, God uses what's available. It confounds human reasoning, but listen, it glorifies God. Listen to me. When Brother Elmer's a mechanic. Now, I've watched Brother Elmer, and listen, he can take just about anything and use it as a tool. And you know what? when somebody uses the right tool, you say, man, I got all the right tools. I got the DeWalt. I got this. I got that. You know what? Most people say, hey, he's got great tools. Anybody could do it if I had those kind of tools. Don't they say that? Yeah. If you got the right tool to do the job. But listen, when you don't have the right tool and you can get the job done, people look at you and say, hey, that guy's a carpenter. Hey, that guy's a mechanic. Hey, that old boy knows what he's doing. You see who gets the glory? It's not the tools that get the glory. It's the person using the tool that gets the glory. Hey, when God just uses what's available, hey, that old screwdriver when he wants a chisel, you know who gets the glory? God does. See, it confounds human reasoning. How'd you do that, Brother Elmer? You didn't have the right tools. How'd you do that, God? That old boy wasn't much. Hey, she wasn't much. How'd you do that? He's God. He can take anything. Hey, you know what you're made of? I've heard people say, we're made of dirt. And every time they say that, I say, no, you're not. You're made of the dust. You know what dust is? It's a byproduct of dirt. It's lower than dirt. That's what we are. But God breathed on it, and you know what? He made man. Hey, God can do anything He wants to do. God can take anything He wants to. He can take anybody. And listen, what I'm trying to do is challenge some of you tonight. Listen, God can use you, and He can use me if we just make ourselves available. God's got something for you to do. He may have some phone calls for you to make. He may have some visits for you to make. He may have something for you to do around. But God has something for you to do to glorify His name. And then lastly, not only is availability translated into usability, not only does it confound human reasoning, but I like this point. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Availability lives in the present. Availability lives in the present. See, God's not looking for what you can do tomorrow, or God's not really looking what you did in the past. He's looking at what you're doing right now. See, you know what He's looking down at? He's looking down and saying, who's in church? Who's assembled this morning and this evening? He's looking at now. He's looking at now. The present, Ecclesiastes 9. I'm sitting here talking, I need to be turning. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 4. It says, for to him that is joined to all living, there is hope. For a living dog, now listen to what I'm getting ready to read here. It's the Word of God. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You say, what's that mean? That means availability lives in the present. Now, this you've got to get this. You've got to understand this. It'll change your whole outlook on the ministry and your Christian service. The conclusion of the matter, this is crazy, but it's true. I'm going to make a statement. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts, but it's God. And it goes along with what we just said here. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Here's what I'm going to make this statement. Dumb statement. Dumb statement. A living Tom Davis is better than a dead Jack Hiles. You say, hey, he's a lion, but he's a dead lion. I'm a living dog. I'm still alive. I'm still in the present. I'm still available. Now listen, I'm not trying to I'm just saying, listen. Hey, listen. A Clovis Wade. A living Clovis Wade is better than a dead J. Frank Norris. I'm just trying to tell you what that verse means. Hey, a living Quinn Fugate is better than a dead D.L. Moody. Hey, a living Todd Lasseter is better than a dead Lester Roloff. You say, what? Hey, those guys are lions, but they're dead. And you know what we are? We're just dogs that have made ourselves available. Said, God, here am I, use me. But can I tell you this? Before those guys were lions, you know what they were? Living dogs. That's all they were. They were living dogs that made themselves available to God because you know what? There were men that were greater than they were when they got started. And when they asked God to use them for the first time, these men. Now, here's the conclusion of the matter tonight. Here's the conclusion of the matter. The key to God using you is to be available. Hang around authority. Don't be afraid of it. Don't shy away from it. Hey, get as close as you can and find out, what can I do for God? Don't try to set up your own little authority structure, your own little ministry within the church. Find authority. Find the person that's in charge of a ministry. Find the person that's in charge and hang around them. And I guarantee you, you'll have enough to do to keep you busy the rest of your life. And you'll do something for God. You say, will it be tiring? Yes, it will. That's why the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain. Now listen, in the Lord. Some of the stuff you're doing right now, it don't amount to a hill of beans. But what you do for Christ is going to last. See, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. Now see, availability means usability. When I make myself available to God, God can use me. And listen, it confounds human reasoning, but listen, it glorifies God. It glorifies God. And listen, accountability lives in the present. It's not the past. See, what you did today, hey, thank God, praise God, hallelujah for the strength. And listen, it was a wonderful thing, but you know what? It's in the past. Hey, God, what do you got for me tomorrow? What do you got for me right now? Lord, what do you want me to do right now? There are some of you that have your own dreams, your own aspirations right now. You're saved. You're born again. You need to burn them and find out what God wants you to do. Find out what God wants you to do. Hey, some of you know what God wants you to do. It's just now start making yourself available to what God wants you to do. And take what God wants you to do seriously. I mean, just like it was if you were getting paid for it. And listen, you are. See, that's the problem. Some of you don't think you are. Oh, they're just using me to serve nachos. That's all they think I know how to do. Hey, listen, I've seen ladies serving nachos that, listen, they run businesses. You know what that tells me? I want to be used. Hey, there's men that, you know what? Hey, they're running businesses and they've got authority, and you know what they're doing? They're putting themselves under authority when they come to church and say, I don't care what you won't do, I'll do it. See, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Hey, Brittany, when you showed up at the altar the other night and said, listen, you know what she said? I want to be available. You know what thrilled her preacher's heart? You know what thrilled my heart? It's like she just says, I just want to be used. I just want to be used. I think when preacher stands up and says, we need bus workers, we need bus workers, we need bus workers, we need bus workers. We need bus workers. We need bus drivers, we need bus drivers. I kidded with her when we filled out her card. I said, now you're going to surrender to drive a bus, right? Because that's what we need. Brother Tom, I can't do that. But you know what that's telling some guy out there? Hey, there's a worker that's available. God's working on your heart and knows that, hey, that little girl needs a driver for the bus she's going to work on. Amen. Amen. Listen, just making yourself available. And then listen, God will give you the strength. He will channel His power through you. And there'll be times you'll think, man, listen, I can't chisel this thing out. I can't nail this nail. I'm not fit for this, but God will fit you for it. Have you ever heard the potter and the clay? He kind of just breaks you and makes you over to what He wants to use you for. When you put yourself in His hands and make yourself available, yeah, the breaking may hurt for a little bit, but He'll make you back over and He'll make you into the instrument that He can use for His honor and His glory. How many of you not want to be used? I want to be used. It ought to be the desire of our heart. If you're born again, like Paul said, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? I just want to be available. Hey, if he said, listen, I want you to wash the feet of all the apostles, I think Paul would have done it. I think Paul would have done anything the Lord asked him to do. And some of you in here, listen, if your pastor was to ask you to do something, you'd say, well, I don't think I'm fitted for that. You better think about it before you say no. Because God wants to use you. He's going to use the pastor, going to use authority to direct your life and the Word of God. And listen, we are human, and yes, we do ask you to do things from time to time, and you know what? You can't do them. We understand that. But I tell you what, I want to be used of God. If I have to say no, it's because you know what? I'm doing something else for God. You know what I'm saying? Listen, folks, we ought to have a desire. Let's be available. If we're going to see God do, we saw God do something today in this campaign. Hey, it may have only been by one or two, but like Brother Todd said, hey, it doesn't matter if you win by 1 point or 30 points, we still won. And listen, He gave us the victory today. Why can't He give us 2,000 at the end of this thing? Why can't we get 500 more people here? I'll tell you why. Because there's going to be a vast majority sitting right in here. You know what you're going to do? You're going to walk out of this auditorium the same. You're going to ignore the message. You're going to ignore God's Word. And you're going to do your own thing instead of making yourself available. But you know what would happen if we make ourselves available? If we had a whole group of people, and I'm not... Listen, you come down here and you get your heart right with God and say, Lord, I want to be used. I guarantee you, God's already got a place for you. He's already going to start moving. He's already going to start working things out for you and put you in the place. And we're going to see that goal met. But it'll only be met if we make ourselves available for God's use. Let's stand. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that resides in us.